Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o, mm-hmm,
ooh-ay-o. I've been walking,
mm-hmm, ooh-ay-o,
with my face turned mm-hmm, to
my head, just in case I have to run.
Do what I can when I can, while I can for my people.
While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night,
that's why I wanna
stand up,
take my people with me. Together we are
going far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling, calling me to enter?
Gotta keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones,
and I know ooh, what's around the bend might be hard to face, 'cause I'm alone and I just might fail. Lord knows I tried. Sure as
stars fill up the sky,
stand up, take my people with me.
Together we are
going
to a brand
new home, far across the river.
You hear freedom calling,
calling me to enter.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight for the Truth and Power Corner. How is everybody doing tonight? We had a very, very special show scheduled for today. Our guest has not been able to contact me today, so we may have to postpone this show, which will be okay. And then we'll be back at another time to take care of this very special guest. Very special guest. I was very excited. Still excited. He might be able to call in. And if he's not, hey, it is what it is. We'll just have a real short show today. Talk for a few minutes. And then we'll, you know, catch up later. I want to start out by welcoming everybody. Welcome everybody that called in today. Thank you for joining us. Come on in and get comfortable. If you would like to join us, call in at 516-387-1549 and add a comment and or question. Let me handle some light housekeeping and we will get started. Salute to all our political prisoners, our POWs, our exiles and elder comrades that are still being tortured and murdered by these dirty-ass people. This is the month of Black August, symbol of resistance. These brothers behind the walls, they are very disciplined, very astute, you know, fasting, studying and training. Fasting, studying and training. We got to get on board, family. We not doing what we need to do to get them home. Dr. Mutulu Shakur is still suffering. He needs to be home with his family, his children, his grandchildren. We need to do better on their platform, on their agenda. What are we doing? Salute to all our grassroots black media platforms, our sisters and brothers that continue to bring us knowledge and keep us informed and keep us connected. Thank you for your continued work and contributions and sacrifices. Thank you all. Salute to Brother Noble, Sister Monique, and our family in Stonecrest, Georgia, and Denver, Colorado with Unity Community News. We will be back on air soon. I'm telling y'all, stay focused. Stay focused. We will be back. Salute to the Republic of New Africa, Madam President Samayat, Madam Vice President Mama Ayo, our leaders, officials, ministers, ministries, our citizens of our black nation. Check us out in our website at pg-rna.com. Support the building of our black nation. All right. Like I said, we did have a very, very special guest scheduled for today. But like we know, he is stuck behind those walls, so we don't know what is going on and what happened today. And like I said, this is the month of Black August. Hey, like I said, we'll be back later. We'll just have a real short show today because, it is what it is. We just have to roll with it. So I just wanted to talk today, you know, see how everybody's doing. Like I said, first of all, I would like to say we need to support the building of our black nation. All we are asking is a $5 donation from each and every family. If you give $5, what is $5? Hey, and don't think I don't know and I don't understand, you know what I'm saying, that it, about finances and different things, but we need to support the building of our black nation. We need a black nation for our children right now. We need it right now. Like I said, we did have a very special guest scheduled for today. I'm not sure what happened, but hey, it is what it is. I'm going to open up the lines, and if anybody want to join in, they can join in. I'm going to open up the first line, area code 901-292. Come on in, Mama. How you doing today? Like I said, I'm not sure what happened, but you know he locked behind them walls, so hey, it is what it is.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I hope all the listening audience, everybody is fine. Everybody is healthy. Everybody is safe.
That is our
biggest prayer for everyone. So with that, I say, free the land, comrades.
Ashe. And I'm going to open up the next line. Area code 901-570. Your line is open. Come on in. How you doing today?
Free the land, Melly Queen.
Hey, President Sa, how you doing? Like I
fantastic.
Said,
To the lamb, Mama Ayo, Vice President Mama Ayo. No, hold on. Let me keep saying this about Mama Ayo. Vice President Queen Mama Ayo. I got to put Queen in front of the mama.
Exactly. How y'all doing today? Like I said, I'm going to have a very short show today. We got a meeting today anyway at 6 o'clock, so it probably worked out best because I do want him to be talking the whole full 2 hours anyway. So we're just going to talk a little bit today. If y'all want to talk to the people and, you know, just give them a little advice for a minute because we're going to have to get off the air in a minute anyway. So just give them a little advice. And I saw the guy performing today. Where was he performing at, Sister Sa?
It was in a famous animal studio here in Memphis.
Okay. He on the radio.
It's like a social media platform where this young brother promotes different artists. Just different artists that want to. So they basically use him as a promotional tool, famous animal. Right.
Oh,
so,
okay. Well, tell him we saw him today. I saw his video today. I'm blocked on Facebook, so I can't share it. But tell me he did a fire performance, a fire performance.
It was nice and wonderful. Wow, beautiful.
I did want to add real quick, though. I'm sorry. Are we going into the discussion? Are we going?
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to add to what Mama Ayo said. She said something really, 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 I don't know, this word really hit me specifically, is dealing with our people. You know, she said, make sure everybody is safe. Make sure you're safe. Okay, if you're safe, you know, the word safe just kept popping in my head, right? And I'm like, okay, how do we ensure our safety? What is necessary for us to ensure our safety? Because it works hand in hand with nation building. The reason why we on the phone and other listeners are so committed to building our nation because it assists in securing our safety. You understand what I'm saying? We're not safe in this system with these folks that have never loved us. Off top. And so the first rule of thumb is self-preservation. Huh? Isn't that how nature works? You do what you have to do to preserve the self. And when we self, we talk about ourselves and our children. You understand what I'm saying? So that word like rang so loud when she said that safe. We do this for our safety, security. Huh? We are not safe in this particular system on no level. We have attack after attack after attack after attack. When you are constantly getting attacked, what do you do? What is the natural response when you're getting attacked?
Exactly. I totally agree.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that right there, safe. We need to build something around safe, Mama. Period. People, that the simple basic, that's a basic necessity, is being safe from danger and harm.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Period.
Absolutely.
People keep trying to make this so complicated in terms of the reasoning. You understand what I'm saying? That's a simple way to put it to a regular person. Look, we trying to be safe.
Exactly.
We want to make sure you're safe. Your safety is important to us. I say, Mama Ayo, I say on the safe, okay?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Do you want to expound on it, Mama Ayo? Because, like, I be telling people, you know, we getting attacked, I mean, by these homegrown terrorists. These pigs feel out of control. But if we had a nation and our security in our nation, we would not be in that situation. And if they only understood this, do you want to ask and say something about that?
Yes, safety is very, very important because there are some elders, there are some families, they don't even allow their children to come outside in the event that they won't be safe. They feel that at any moment they could be robbed, raped, beaten, shot, stabbed, and it's not just from people who look like us. It's people who aggress upon the community because they feel they have what I call free reign. It's free reign, you know, just you already targeted, just being a new African, just having a melanated skin tones. So safety is one thing that we build upon because we want to protection of our women, protection of children, protection of the elders is the number one function of our comrade brothers, of our kinsmen, of our sons and nephews, uncles, so on. And that mindset has to be rebooted. It's not like it's never been there because it's always been there. That's what the role and function of every man in society is to protect their men, women, and children. That doesn't happen to the black community today, because the black community has been attacked for so long that we're in a state of, all right, this is the regrouping time. This is the rebuilding time. This is getting our priorities in order. And right now it's about protection of our women, protection of our children, and protection of the elders on all levels, from the home to the school to the job to the neighborhood to the, you know, the community, on and on and on. And it has to ring forth, because here we are, how many years after the Million Man March?
Exactly.
How many years after the Million Man March? And
no,
I thought, you know, those
Is it 30 yet? Or almost?
Has it been 20 years maybe?
No, it's been 20.
So, right? 90s, 96? When was that?
Yes.
Yeah.
2016. It'll almost be 30 years if we really want to do the math.
Exactly. So, 30 years in the 2026. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Exactly. So
26 years.
That recommitment. That recommitment. And they said there was well over a million brothers, fathers. There were a few women involved, but basically it was a gathering of our men, our kinsmen, our comrade brothers, coming together, committing themselves to community, to nation building. And we have to analyze, okay, so what happened when you came back to your various enclaves, your various communities? Because right now, your comrades, sisters, your wives, your aunties, your grandmamas, mamas, mamas are saying, we do not feel protected.
At all. Exactly.
That's a serious charge. We do not feel protected.
Exactly.
Who's that? Whose shoulders does that fall on? That means we have to protect ourselves, or we're relying on the so-called people who are supposed to protect and defend, who don't look like us, to protect and defend us? Are we crazy?
Thank you. We're calling the police. I didn't even know about the police when I was young, because my uncles were our police. You know what I'm saying? So I totally agree. I totally agree. I know we've been talking about the importance of gaining land, right? Of gaining, you know, getting different, buildings and different things, you know, that have been abandoned and different things. And with that gaining of land and property and different things like that, that would give us power and safety and security. What are y'all thoughts on that? And whoever want to start off first could go ahead, and then we can go from there.
It most definitely, us having the resources will definitely make us feel safe and secure, yet before even getting the resources, right? We need to know what it is that we want to do with the resources. You understand what I'm saying? See, because remember, we've been in this particular system for a very long period of time, and it takes some real self-work to rid ourselves of the detrimental thinking that has us still in this particular situation. Remember, if we were properly as a collective, we would not be in this situation. We would not. So that lets me know, so logically speaking, we as a people, we have to get it together, because the resources is right in front of us. Right in front of us. We have so many resources right in front of us, yet learning how to utilize the resources in our own context and not somebody else's. You understand what I'm saying? Because see, we're still trying to solve our problems the way that we have been taught to solve problems. And in this particular movement, it requires us to diligently think outside of the box on every single level, physically, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, socially, emotionally. On every field imaginable, we have to, oh yes, we have technology, yet how beneficial is this technology to our environment?
what actually is it doing to other people? What technologies can we, what can we derive from what is being learned about this particular technology and take that, recreate or even surpass from our own context, looking at it from a more holistic standpoint? Because a lot of these things are created not taking in consideration what it does to the environment, what it does to people, what it does to, they, people don't care. They don't even do the research to even find out. All it is about that money. It's not about people, right? So we want to make sure everything that we do is coming from our perspective, our goal, the principles that we stand on. Okay, we have those principles, yet as we work and build, we will learn that which works for us and that which does not. You know, but it actually takes us doing the work to find out what that is, because this is, we're scientists. We're social scientists. When we say we want to step out of this particular paradigm, that means we are social scientists. We're saying we want to be social scientists and figure it out. And we can't figure it out just reading about it. No, we have to take that theory and put it into practice. And in our case, because we are highly melanated, we can actually see in our mind's eye exactly what needs to take place, yet we just need to take the necessary steps and do it.
Ashe. Sorry, go ahead, Mama Ayo. Queen Mother, Mama.
You know I'm in, yes. I'm totally in agreement with that, because it's about putting into practice everything that we say we want to be about. And we can only tell if something is working or if something is beneficial to us if we have laid down a foundation. If it's working, we see things fall apart. We see things get better, that we can judge for ourselves that, yes, this is best. And also making sure we pay attention to what we see our people telling us is what we need. Right now, I think we have a lot of people saying we want better education. So how does a community decide on better education? Does it mean better teachers? Does that mean a better curriculum? Does it mean better school hours, better programs? And does that mean that are we coming from an African-centered point of view or just an American point of view? Because if that's the case, then we're always going to be perpetually miseducated. What do we want for our children? We want vocational training. We want them to come back to the land. And that is not what they're being taught in a public school setting. That is not what is happening. So that's the work. That is the what we call the training. When we get back to security just for my children having to be dropped off from school and being exposed to predators, being exposed to potential people who want to bring them into a different type of lifestyle that isn't going to be beneficial to them. So it is all very, very, very critical that we pay attention, that we make sure that we're looking at the signs and the symptoms of everything that's going on around us, because it's all interrelated. Nothing is an isolated incident, interrelated, and everything is involving our political condition. In this country, we are the descendants of a captive people. We have been dominated since before the 1600s, and we are seeing the legacies of that domination. Even though there's been freedom, even though there's been civil rights, even though there's been integration, we're still under a system of white supremacy, racism, imperialism, and neocolonialism. We are neocolonial captive citizens. And with that, I yield.
I totally agree with that. Look, I just got a text from Baba Abdul. He's going to try to join us for a minute and just chime in, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, he locked behind those walls, and we had to go with what we know, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to see if he'll be able to call in. But while he's calling in, well, I'll wait for that question right there about the sexism. Like, you know, we've been talking about how draining it has been doing this work, right? Because you all are y'all work so hard that it is ridiculous. I don't even see how y'all be staying awake, you know what I'm saying? So it is so draining sometimes and frustrating. I have to talk to myself every day. When I get up at 4:30 in the morning, and I have to tell myself, hey, get yourself together. Come on, get yourself together, because you got to do that work. And y'all do that work. Y'all are some hardworking women. I want y'all to, hold on a second. Here go, we're going to join this next caller. Caller 619-720. Is that you, Baba? Come on in and join us. How you doing today? We understand. How you doing?
I'm all right. You know, I had to where I'm at, so I couldn't get it. We're supposed to get it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Hey, you know I understand. How you doing today?
Right. Bob, I'm good. Remaining steadfast and defined.
I say, Madam President and Madam Vice President are here, so y'all can speak as y'all,
oh,
you know.
Oh, what's up?
Free the land, Baba Abdul.
Free the land.
How are you? Yes.
I'm good.
I got to say, look, we totally understand what's going on, so we're going to have, you know, just a little short show. We'll come back another day, you know what I'm saying? It's no problem
at all. Yeah, no problem.
We just been talking about, one of the things we've talking about is the safety of our people, you know what I'm saying? And how we not safe, that we need to build our nation, so that we can have that safety for our people with all these things that are going on. What would be your thoughts on this right there?
I mean, you know, I think one time, I remember I had a dialogue with a sister a long time ago, and she had asked me, what does self-government look like? They don't know what it looks like. They're not going to believe in it. They're not going to support it. It got to go beyond just words, right? And we form institutions and structures within the community that focus on self-reliance, independence. You give them an impression, this is what self-government looks like. Because if you can't govern a community, you sure in the heck ain't going to govern a nation. They understand that. They must see something. They must feel it and touch it in order to believe it. You know? And I think that's where the focus should be at, is establishing these sovereign locations where we have our own schools, stores, you name it, in those areas where they can see, okay, this is what self-government look like. I like this. I like the way it looks. They have to go by right now. You know, the word does not satisfy them, especially when you look at the conditions of our community. And then we have to compete with these clowns, these fascist, racist dogs. And people, they don't take that serious, and they have to, because And I use the example all the time. If they are in trouble, no matter what this government looked like, I'm talking about this fascist government, the people can at least call 911 and somebody will come. Maybe 2 hours late, they will show up. That's what they're going to rely and depend on. Show up in their time of need. They're going to depend on that, and the government stand there. That's why the government spend all energy on trying to weaken our ability to pass people. Because whoever served them, that's who they're going to believe in. They would want a self-government. They would want a government of themselves. But when something happens, they're going to be there. My house catch on fire, who's going to be there? And my mother have a heart attack, who's going to come and pick them, take them to the hospital? Those services are the services that we have to establish. Those are the same departments we're going to have under a self-government. They must be at a lower level first. break the people away from that system, to break away the dependence from that system. As long as they depend on that system, it's going to be hard to get them to understand what a nation looks like when the only forces that provide them services are their oppressors. And it's like I explained to one brother, because a sister had called the cops because they were selling drugs on her property in front of her house. And a little kids couldn't come out to play or nothing. And the sister called the cops. And they burned down the house and killed the sister and the whole, all her kids. This is in Baltimore. So the brothers were saying, man, the hell with that rat. I said, wait a minute. You wasn't there for her. Who was she supposed to call? We failed and dropped the ball. She should have been able to call upon us, those who consider themselves revolutionary guerrillas. What was she supposed to do? Subject her children to that threat on a day-to-day basis? What was she supposed to do? We was not there for her. So you can't condemn her. Condemn yourself first, because she should have been able, you was aware of that. You knew what was taking place. You didn't do nothing. And that's one of the problems in the struggle now. We don't take responsibility for our own failure to act in the best interest of our people. We blame everybody else but ourselves. And as long as you can find someone else to blame, you don't feel obligated to make the necessary steps to do your part. Oh, that was the government. Oh, that was the white folks. That was the devils, you know? No, that was on you, because we are responsible for how we respond to it. Just like when them dudes taking over that sister's front yard and selling drugs in our front yard. What was our responsibility then? To either ask them to remove themselves or remove them for them, period. You know? So those are things that the people have to see, because then they're confident, okay, I can believe in this government. If you have a family that's going hungry, it's not just about handing that family a bag of groceries. We have to acquire the land, develop our own farm, to create our own people's store. Because one of the things we have to do, we have to divorce them and separate them from the government. All the systems the government provides, we must provide. We have to. If not, why would they rely and depend on our ideal or concept for a nation when we're not there for them right now? And again, remember, the nations that we focus on going 20, 30, 40 years down the line. But the blueprints start now. The programs that will evolve into institutions start right now. So 50, 60 years from now, they get a clear look of, okay, this is what this is about. But we have to plant the seed now. We have to show the people right now. So say like you providing these concrete services to the people, that will be passed on from them to their next generation or from them to their kids, because they will all participate in that process. And then they will participate in the program itself, not just demand services, but contribute towards its growth and development. But we have to give them something to look at. You know, if you can't just go in and say, well, don't support this, don't support that. But they say, okay, we won't support it, now what? If we don't support this here, what you going to do for us in place of that?
Exactly.
Because then you're telling them to suffer as a result. Don't support them. Just suffer. We'll be there 50 years from now. And that's what we have to look at. We have to say, well, I don't want you to support this, but I'm going to provide you with a better service. And you don't need to say support this, because here we are right here. You're going to see it, feel it, and touch it. That's how you win the confidence. And in every revolution, you have to win the people over, not through words, but concrete action. So if I got an institution here, if I got a store here, where all the food in that store came from our farms, the packaging came from our factories, they're going to see that. They're going to see what they look like. And then you'll give them confidence in the fact that, okay, we can do this. You know, if you create your own volunteer fire department, nothing but new Africans. So when you call, when your house is on fire, and we'll do it more better and effectively, we'll be right there at their doorstep. And, oh, okay, that's what that looked like. We have to show them what it looked like. And we have to develop our own ambulance services, our mobile clinics. These are things that they will look at. And one of the things Panther did when they created the free Brexit program, it allowed people to see certain things, the potential of what it can be like if we do it for ourselves. And we had to give them that. And again, and I tell people to use, regardless of you think about the Nation of Islam, use the Nation of Islam internal structure as a map. The Nation of Islam have their own farm. They have all their own businesses. It's rare that you will find a person in the nation that is homeless, that is standing on the corner begging for food, because the nation take care of themselves. if you look at the state of Israel, regardless of what you look at them like, they are a bunch of tyrants, but they are self-sustaining. They don't depend on one. When they came out of their hollow, they said, then, we came out of the Holocaust saying, can we all get along? We came out of the Holocaust trying to simulate it, where the Jews came out of the Holocaust and said, no, this ain't going to never happen again. And they built accordingly. Their whole state is military. Every sister or brother that come up out of there was required to enroll in America. The females, the 1 year, and the males, 2 years, then went from 2 years to 3 years. Required, mandatory, unless you're mentally incapable or you have health issues, mandatory. So the average person in Israel better use a gun, have military training. All this is a result of the Holocaust. Look at what we've done. Can I send it at your counter? Can I send it in front of your bus? I don't give a damn about your bus. But that's how we respond to our Holocaust. You know, and this is the result.
Man.
Our response is not appropriate to the condition that we came from. And that's a serious issue.
Very, very
serious.
When
we speak in my nation, we have to separate this.
Exactly. I totally agree on you. I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree with you on that. And like I said, I love talking to you because you were the first person that told me that I probably would not see a revolution in my lifetime. And it changed my perspective on the work I was doing, and I had to refocus, you know what I'm saying? Because I was just so, we need to get free. And like you said, we probably won't even see it. And I wanted to go into the next question right quick. You were talking about, you know, I heard you on the George Jackson radio show, you know, the other night, and you know, we were talking about how sexism is killing the revolution. We have two of the most powerful women that I know, right? They are very intelligent, hardworking women, and they do not get the respect that they supposed to get leading this nation. This is my first time, you know, being, you know, in this format and, you know, in this arena, and they have done the work. So what are we going to have to do to turn their opinions around, because they are powerful and they doing the work?
Check this out. And I talk to some of them. Brothers create an environment that either going to forbid that behavior or let it exist. And I explain to them, if you believe that this is your president, this is your vice president, you believe in that, then you must commit yourself. So if a brother come in here and net against him, he should get his ass slapped in his mouth or removed. Simple as that. It's an environment that you create. We're not going to tolerate that. We're not going to tolerate it from the white government or this fascist Catholic government. Why would we tolerate it from you? Why will you put a black face on this form of treatment? We're not going to tolerate it from you because you're black. You have to create that climate. And then you have to enforce these rules and bylaws that forbid that. If you do this, you got to go. You ain't going to sit here and we give you a comfortable place to discriminate and undermine the authority of those particular positions. We can't accept that. It's no different when we look at our organization. You may have an individual refuse to change their way and discriminate against the system. We're not going to let you hold us hostage. Your ass is gone. One way or the other, you're gone. We're not going to let you hold the hostage. We're not going to let you hold the organization hostage. And that's what they're doing with that bull crap, that killing crap. They're holding government hostage because they have a safe place where they can do it with no concern of repercussions or retribution. Not even concerned about what the other male are saying. They're comfortable in that position because there's no consequences for acting like that. Same problem that exists today exists in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with regards to these different formations. Exists to this day right now in a lot of these formations. And those males who say they are different than that, no, you're not, because you created an environment that allowed that stuff to take place. And I'm staying right there, but I want to give another example of what I mean by this as well. I was doing an interview about a week ago, and somebody called and said, do I believe, is there such thing as good cops? I said, no, there can never be a good cop. So the sister that was doing the interview, she said, why would you say that? I said, we know we live in a fascist society, and this pig department is responsible for enforcing that. Now, I said, the only good cops I know are the cops that get fired. Because if you serious about upholding the law, you will enforce that law on your colleague. You will enforce the law in the department that you work for because they're perpetuating crimes against poor people. There's no way you can be a good cop. You're going to have to turn against your own. You have to fight the system that you pledge your life to. And most men ain't going to do that. What I'm saying is you create that climate. If you serious about this struggle, and you serious about it, then you're going to fight the fool that is within your structure that's perpetuating that ill. If you don't do that, you're only contributing to it. It's that simple. Within our group, we have a thing. Let's say we have a brother or a sister that's shooting dope. And we know they're shooting dope, but we don't say nothing. Like Papa Chiquita Lumumba speak about liberalism, combating liberalism. I am just as guilty because the fact that this individual is selling dope or using dope can hurt them and undermine our integrity as a revolutionary organization. I know this. I placed that before I placed the movement, the organization. I placed that before that. So if I'm sitting in somewhere and this brother is expressing these discriminatory beliefs towards our sisters and I don't say nothing about it, I'm just as guilty. Because I should be offended by that. What you doing? What you say? I should be seriously offended by that, willing to go straight to the grave for that if you believe in that and you're serious about that. A brother should not even be comfortable around another brother and do that. Because he already know the consequences. He should know if you cross that line and undermine the integrity of these sisters that's at the forefront, they're elected by us, you're going to get removed one way or the other. You can't sit here comfortably and do that. It can't be, not be tolerated, simple as that. So it's the climate within the government, climate within the movement, within these organizations that allow that to fester. You have to pull it out, like for whatever the disease, if it exists, it turns to a cancer.
Yeah.
Identify, this is what's going down. You're not going to get comfortable discriminating. You undermine the government. You become a stagnation. You become dead weight. You become an obstacle.
I say.
And now you're holding our progress hostage. Nah, get your punk, man. Anyway, like I was saying, right? You guys have brothers out there. You got brothers out there that's willing to say, hey, man, this is it. Either change or you're going to be removed one way or the other. It's more important. If you're serious about this and you know your actions and deeds is contradicting to the growth and development and advancement of our nation because of that little crap you pull it. You need to be removed then, one way or the other. And those brothers who sitting there letting this happen, they need to be removed because you know different. Because by letting it happen, you say, I ain't got no problem with it.
Exactly.
I'm not offended by this behavior.
Exactly. You're thinking the
same
exact thing.
So I'm saying if you're offended by this behavior, you're going to respond accordingly.
Exactly.
Because if you're offended by it, then you're going to respond accordingly.
I love your fire. I love it. We were talking the other night after we got off of George Jackson Radio, the fire you bring. If we had that in at least 10 brothers outside out here, man, we would be way ahead. I love it. And I wanna get your opinion on because it's draining sometimes. Like I was just talking about how I get up in the morning, I had to talk to myself, you know, to keep going because we don't have brothers like you out here, man. If I had one, it would be awesome. You know what I'm saying? So it's so draining. How do we keep that spirit? How do you keep that fire after all that you have been through?
Let me see. There's brothers and sisters out there, and not everybody can do this because I understand, like, when I'm in prison, I knew already by coming out to the forefront, I'm going to be the primary target. I understood that. I accept that responsibility, right? And if all of us come out like that, none of us will make it to the streets. But if I come out, I'm the primary target. Where these other brothers who got just as much fire than I do, if not more, the government not been tripping on them because they don't know they even exist. So sometimes some of those brothers that we do know out there that got that fire, they have to sit back because this is a protracted struggle. But for those of us who are out there, you can come at me all day. I don't care. Whatever the case may be, kill me or I spend the rest of time of my life in prison, so be it. I understood those consequences. You know what I'm saying? The thing is that we understand that they're out there. And we live in an environment where not all come up above ground without getting our head chopped off. We have to understand that. Who taught us that? Yes. Quarantine Pro taught us that. We have to be strategic and tactical in our approaches. You see what I'm saying? But believe me, them brothers and sisters are out there. I know they're out there. But they have to play a role where, to give you an example, during the 60s and 70s, a lot of them brothers and sisters had fired in them with either on gun, got murdered, or arrested, and left a major vibe for these leaders to pop. Even some of the original Panthers will explain that to you the same way. All the leaders were at the forefront, and the government was able to chop their head off by falsely accusing them and putting them in prison or physically removing them from the streets or killing them, or meaning they had to go in exile. It left no leadership, effective leadership, revolutionary leadership out there. So it left room for this false leadership to pop up. We have to learn from that. You know, we have to learn from that. It's like you got one head up, but we got 10 in the waiting. And under them 10, you got 20 in the waiting. One of the things we say that everyone is qualified to be a leader. And they must train the court at any given time they will be called upon to take that role. So what I'm saying is like when you chop a lizard tail off, it'll grow back. We didn't have that. When they chop our tail off, it remained a stub because we did not prepare. Now that we understand what Quarantine Pro looked like, now that we understand what the government would do, we have to prepare our leadership structure accordingly. We must have different layers. So we know if they remove that first layer, second, third, fourth, fifth layer of leadership and the type of leadership that we have, right? That's important. You can have the same type of leadership within the structure without him or her himself. You know, you're not trying to preach to the world, but what you're doing in terms of you're providing a constructive prism of the failure of the movement, of the failure of different organizations and groups, hope that they will correct them, right? That can always done behind closed doors. If I was on the street, people would really hear me because I go directly to the people and talk to them. Just like them clowns that are discriminating the sisters, I wouldn't be in no big meeting. I go to them. I don't need to preach to the choir. I preach by any means necessary that is doing it. I'm not trying to be heard. I'm felt as a gorilla. They will feel me because I identify those individuals that is doing that, pull them to the side, take them where we need to take them to, sit them down. It's not an ultimatum. I mean, either you're going to stop or, you know, you have no choice but to stop your ass. Simple as that. And you know, and his brothers out there, I know for a fact, would do that. You know, remember, the struggle is a protracted struggle. We have to plant those seeds first. You know, so look at the situation that's taking place. You must first identify those brothers that believe as you believe. You must first identify those brothers that truly support you, and you get them because you are just as equally accountable and responsible for what they're doing as well. I'm going to give you another example.
Okay.
When I was coming, I was young. He was Bunchy Carter's brother. He always used to call me a chaos agent. I never understood this. I thought he was calling me a rat or something. I used to get mad. And for a while, he wouldn't tell me. So I asked him one time, why are you calling me a chaos agent? And he said, dude, we have bylaws, guidelines, and rules to set down, and you break them every time. As if you own yourself, not knowing that your actions and deeds are a consequence for all of us. If we say go left, you go right. and we say A, B, and C, you go D, E, and F. Contrary to the organization, that create chaos. We have rules that you have to abide by, and you running around breaking it. That's a contradiction. Mm-hmm. That's chaos. The chaos agent is constantly resist or structure organized form. And the only reason why we allow you to stay because it's potential, but it's not going to keep on going. And now what really made me look at this was this. And it ain't no secret because I got, you know, charge and everything. But in 95, I'm by myself. I got comrades in the same place, San Quentin Center, 85. I had access to a gun. So here my little crazy butt, I'm going to take over the adjustment center. Got my cell bars. I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna take over. Somebody informed on me, white prison at that. So they found parts of the guns and all that. None of my comrades was involved, but they were the target. 10 of our targets that was in another building and bring them to the adjustment center, which at that time was the last spot of the prison system. Last stop. They didn't do nothing. The fact that I did what I did, they automatically assumed that they gave me an instruction to do it, and they didn't. I was out there being a chaos agent. But now I create chaos. I brought these 10 good comrades to the adjustment center. They didn't have no knowledge of what I was doing. That was really, I didn't learn at that time, but I realized what he was talking about. When I became polygamous, sure. I reflect back on that and say, damn, I was a little ignorant little bastard. They should have removed my head because what I've done. What I'm saying is, for the consequences, when you have individuals who think they can have their own agenda or agenda or chaos or attempt to hold their organization hostage. That's why I'm so hard on that now, because I was that person.
Yes. Yes,
I was that person. I would have took my head off back then.
Yeah.
You know? So exactly. You have to take that serious. Because you seen the consequence of myself, not just for me, but others, but for myself as well. I said, damn, I did that. I made it hard for 10 others that was at the forefront doing good work, and I held them back because I had them placing adjustments in my actions and deeds. My independent action, it had nothing to do with the organization or the movement. I choose to do it. I'm mad at these pigs, so I'm going to take over the adjustment center and blow their brains out.
Yeah.
With no, I mean, I was all by myself. But yet, the consequences, the results are the same. And them brothers didn't do nothing at all. Had no knowledge of it. They was in the unit. But that gave the government the opportunity to say, okay, we're going to charge all of you. Before you know on the news, it say the guerrillas were conspiring to take over the San Quentin State Prison. That's not true.
Yeah.
That was my little knucklehead ass. You know, so I'm saying you have to say it again, sis.
Go ahead.
I was just saying it's important that we understand because we within our organization, we say what happened to us. We're responsible for one another. So we must enforce that. When a brother sit back and lie, it would be affected. Or mind the integrity or position of our sisters, sit and let that happen. Remember, what happens to them happens to you. They're not just undermining them, they're undermining you as well. If you serious about this, you have to stop that brother or slap him in his mouth. Man, shut up. You have to do something. You become responsible to respond. Simple. You don't put a question.
Exactly.
I'm going to sit here, and I call myself a new African revolutionary guerrilla. I'm going to sit here and allow this behavior to exist. He's dismissing me. He's telling me, oh, man, you ain't going to do nothing. I don't care nothing about you. He's dismissing me. No, brother. No, you're not going to dismiss me because that's not what we believe in. So if you do anything contrary to what we believe in, you, as far as I'm concerned, you enemy of the state until you change otherwise. And I'm going to treat you accordingly.
I totally agree with you on that because that's where that work, study, and training come in. And just like y'all are observing, we are observing Black August right now. Y'all are fast and the discipline and different things that y'all have going on, that work, study, and training is so necessary. Because like you said, like when I first came to the Republic of New Africa, I was headstrong, but I had to calm it down. And that's how, you know, Vice President Mama Ayo and President Saar, being around them and working with them, taught me to, that I need to calm down. And like you said, you cannot, you know, hit somebody in the nose and then expect, you know, expect them to listen to what you got to say. So I want to transition into that, you know, Black August and that discipline that you all have is so admirable, and I salute you all. I salute all of you all because it's hard. Y'all looking at the enemy every day. I can't stand these pigs. I hate them. But y'all got to deal with these motherfuckers every day, 24/7. And I want to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to Mama Ayo and Sister Saar, you know, ask you any question they want to ask you. We're going to end the show, but I want you to come back.
Okay.
Do you understand me? So we can have our full 2 hours.
Again, it comes to discipline. You can't respond every time they do something. That's reactionary. You have to have, like I have that quote when I was saying, a chess player think before every move. A checker player never think and only fall prey to their lack of thinking. So we have to step back. We're professional. We're professional revolutionaries. So you have to sit back and think before you move. And when you're thinking, you have to say, okay, if I move here, what are the consequences? Where are the pros and cons? You have to think. So a person from the outside might say, damn, man, Abdul didn't let that pig live after the pig did what he did. We don't subject ourselves to other people's dictate. We know why we let him go. We know why. You see what I'm saying? We were disciplined in our position, and we knew doing something to that particular individual wouldn't have achieved nothing. In fact, it would have had the opposite effect. We know this already. So I'm saying, you have to discipline yourself, and you have to think before you move every time. We have to be able to take them 64 squares off the chessboard and apply to everything we do, and that is dialectical materialism, New African dialectical materialism. Think before you move. Every decision you make must be based on a concrete analysis of the concrete condition. It must not be subjective. It must not be driven by your emotions. Because when you allow yourself to be driven by emotions, it blur you and blind you from seeing what's really going on. But not only that, I can push your button every time then. I can dictate your response. Because if I know that you're emotionally driven, all I got to do is create things that cause you to get emotion. Then you're going to make all these wrong decisions, justifying my response, to kick your door open, to arrest your members, because you didn't think straight. Now, I agree with Comrade George. If you think too long, it can become a chiasm. So I understand that too. But you have to look at the pros and cons in everything you do, right? This is what I say. If you have an organized community and it's strong and structured, that is your red button. And what I mean by that, you know how they use these red buttons in response to like nuclear weapons? The United States got a red button. China got one. Russia got one. Those red buttons keep each other in check. No matter what you think about Russia, I got a red button too, United States. North Korea, I got a red button too. So you keep each other in check. We need to create our own red button in our community. Our community should be red button. If you continue to do what you do, we're going to push our red button. The community must be strong, not just from a military standpoint, economically, culturally. It must be strong. When it's strong and it's stable, it becomes that red button because they know, okay, it ain't going to be worth going in this community, shooting nobody, harassing nobody, because they have the power to respond if they choose to respond. Right now, we have no red button. In fact, we don't have a button. They know that, and that's why they continue to do what they do. When we build our community as if they are a red button, and we push that red button, they know what the consequence may be, I guarantee you, keep them in check then. Because you can shoot all day. That's not going to solve the problem. Because they're better equipped, better trained, and we ain't got, you can walk down the streets all day in your black fatigues and guns. They don't mean nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. you know. So I'm saying we have to prep our environment with the proper training, prep our environment at where we live at, you know. And until then, we don't have a red button. We're not in a position to let nothing happen. And that's another thing I was saying the other day. If a cop kill a brother in the streets, I'm going to get all my cameras together and protest and demand that the system provide justice. What kind of contradictory crap is that? The same department, these pigs that I call pigs, don't have the capacity to understand justice. Then I'm going to turn around and march and demonstrate and say, we demanding justice for this murder. And I wish I would.
Exactly.
The justice don't come from us. The justice don't come from us. Either you believe that this system is corrupt or you don't. And that's the contradiction. Because you have revolutionaries that we demand justice right now for the murder of so-and-so. Are you serious? Hmm. You don't see the contradiction in that.
Thank you.
I'm not going to ask you for nothing. We're going to get justice one way or the other. But again, yeah, I'm done.
Look, I told her, look, next week, I got a free show open next week. I want you to come back next week if you can, and we can continue this discussion. Madam President and Madam Vice President, do y'all have a question for him? Because, like I said, we're going to have to go because we got a meeting in a minute, Brother Abdul. And like I said, I want you to come back. I want you to come back next week, and we can continue this discussion because I want you to talk about Black August and, you know, the history of Black August and some more things for me because, like I said, I love your fire. I wish I could have you on here every week. So do y'all have a question? Y'all have a question for Queen Mama and Sister?
Free the land. No,
free the land.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Free the land.
I just wanted to reiterate what Melly Queen spoke about, is that every now and then you need to have your booster shot because of the work, because of the you know, internal struggle, work with family, you know, the condition of the provisional government and the new African independence movement in general. So I appreciated my booster shot over the last couple of weeks through the George Jackson, and it just reiterates what our training has taught us, and it is refreshing to be in a venue where comrades, you know, when I say speaking the same language and coming from the same heart, you know, Garvey always says, one God, one aim, one destiny. And you definitely, you and the brother Hakima, exemplified, because we don't see that often. We have a comrade here in Tennessee, of course, Brother Atiba, who teaches behind the walls, because he'll be there for life as well. But to know that others are speaking the same language, it's wonderful, because we know that when the time comes, you will be ready, prepared to step into the roles that we need for you to do when the time comes.
Yeah.
And I yield.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother comrade. Thank you
right,
so much.
Right.
All
yes,
right, you go ahead, Sister Sam. Go ahead.
Baba, you are another elder that we have to, you know, in our traditional sense, you know, we celebrate our elders. You know what I'm saying? And to me, you have crossed into that. I don't even know what they call the rites of passage for elders, where people cross into true eldership. You know what I mean? Like, you're a true
eldership.
Of manhood. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you've done that work over the years. You have put it in, and the payoff is, look at your character. It's impeccable. You understand what I'm saying? Look at, like, you're a real king, you know? So I honor you, for real.
Oh.
You know, and
I
appreciate all the work that you have put in so that I can actually see what it is, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I thank you for that.
I say. And like I said, I love you. I love you. You hear me? And like I said, if you are able to come back next week, let me know. And you know, I hold this time for you because, like I said, I love that fire and that fire. Look, it's got me stimulated now. I'm ready to go out here. Hey, I gotta keep it calm. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Madam Vice President. This has been a very, very great show, even though it was short. Hey, short, sweet, and to the point. And I love you all. Thank you all for joining us. Free the land. Thank you all for joining the Truth and Power Corner today. Like I said, join us next week because hopefully Bob will be able to join us again. And we love you, Mama. And do you have any last words you want to say?
I mean, we have to continue to do what we have to do, but we have to be out there to do it. And I'm saying we are known through our actions and deeds no matter what we say. You know, our actions and deeds must be the manifestation of the eulogy that will be given at our gravesite, not our words, but what we do. And allow our actions and deeds to speak for itself. And I'm talking about them brothers that's out there that's pushing that nonsense. Your action and deeds is contradicting what you claim.
I say. Thank you, Papa. We love you. You be safe.
Right. Stay silent.
And I'll talk to you in the morning. Look, chat with you in the morning. Thank you all for joining the Truth and Power Corner. As always, free the land. Free the land.
Well, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I have to run. Do what I can when I can, what I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night,
that's where
I will stand up.
Take my people with me. Together we are
going
to a
brand new home far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling? Calling me to answer.
Gonna keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones.
And I know
what's around the
be hard, faces I'm alone, and I just might fail,
but Lord knows I tried,
sure
stars fill up the sky.